In section 2 of Calvin's treatment on prayer, which is in book 3, chapter 20, he discusses the necessity of prayer, and he writes this: "It is therefore by the benefit of prayer that we reach those riches which are laid up for us with the Heavenly Father. For there is a communion of men with God, by which, having entered the heavenly sanctuary, they appeal to Him in person concerning His promises, in order to experience, where necessity so demands, that what they believed was not in vain, although He had promised it in word alone." Calvin says, God in His word has buried for us many treasures, and it is through prayer that a couple of main things take place. One, we have communion with God. We have fellowship with Him. Remember, this is the point of our redemption and the fulfillment of God's covenant in Christ, that I will walk with them and dwell with them. And so in prayer is one of the main ways that we enjoy that communion. Secondly, when we go to God in prayer, in our own experience, notice this is a personal communion with God, we're telling our Father that what You've said in Your word, even though we find it only in the word, we believe it. We take You at Your word, and we wait for You to fulfill what You have promised to us. Calvin says, "Therefore we see that to us nothing is promised to be expected from the Lord, which we are not also bidden to ask of Him in prayer. So true is it that we dig up by prayer the treasures that were pointed out by the Lord's gospel and which our faith has gazed upon." Notice that last phrase, our faith has gazed upon. In the word, faith sees. Faith sees God's promises, and prayer digs them up and takes God at His word. Or as it says in Hebrews 11, that we believe that God exists and that He's our Father and diligently rewards those who seek Him. And therefore, in the second paragraph, words fail to explain how necessary prayer is and in how many ways the exercise of prayer is profitable. Surely, with good reason, the Heavenly Father affirms that our only stronghold of safety is in calling upon His name. Remember the proverb, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And prayer, we run into that tower. We call upon Him as our Father. We say, Lord, You're our only helper. You're our hope. Your word is the solid foundation of life. So that even if, as David said in Psalm 11, it seems like that the foundations are overturned and other men are saying to us, run away, flee like a bird to your mountain, we remember that the Lord's throne is in heaven, and that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father invites us to come, to take Him at His word, and to draw near. He says in the last sentence or two of section 2, "Hence comes an extraordinary peace and repose to our consciences. For having disclosed to the Lord the necessity that was pressing upon us, we even rest fully in the thought that none of our ills is hid from Him who, we are convinced, has both the will and the power to take the best care of us." Three thoughts in those two sentences. First, where does peace come from? Where does, as Calvin describes it here, an extraordinary peace and repose? It comes from drawing near to the Lord in prayer, casting our cares upon Him and trusting Him. Secondly, in prayer, he says that in one sense, we invoke God's providence. We invoke God's promises that He has pledged to work for our help and defense. And lastly, notice he says we come to the one who has both the will and the power. Now, some people would say, well, I know God can help me, but I don't know that He will help me. Calvin here says God has both the will and the power. Remember in Philippians chapter 2, it says, God who works in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. God is our Father. We're His children. He's adopted us into His family. So it's not simply that we draw near to a God who has the power, but He is willed. When He gave us His word, He gave us Himself, and He is willing to help us. And in prayer is where we go to Him in faith.